The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
This is Joe Irwin.
And this is Wayne Jefferson.
From Jefferson Irwin Racing.
And you're listening to Real Racing USA.
We are back, Rick.
We're back. Real Racing USA Live. Here at the Real Racing USA Studios.
Floor 7.
Floor 7. Jack.
I got to get used to this floor 7.
Yeah. It's not a well-used button.
There was 10,000 people there, Rick.
10,000.
They sent NASCAR veteran stars home because they couldn't make the race. And Augie Grill took it all, and he's with us. Welcome to Real Racing USA, Augie.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Augie, what was it like to finally hoist that trophy up over your head?
It was pretty amazing. I don't know. I've talked to everybody about it. That's the pinnacle of our kind of racing, short track racing. That's the biggest race there is. That's our Daytona 500.
You got it.
It means a lot.
Yeah, Jack and I were talking about that earlier, and you know, like there's Nashville, there's Milwaukee, but there's only one Pensacola and one Snowball Derby.
That's very true, and it's very unique in its own way, and I wouldn't trade it for the world, that's for sure.
Now, you crew chiefed a winning team. You crew chiefed for Wayne Anderson, but, man, wheeling that car across that start-finish line has got to be a hell of a lot better.
Yeah, it is. I've talked to people about that, too, since Sunday. You know, being a crew chief, all you do is work on the car. Once the car's on the track, it's out of your hands, but you know, driving the car and having people work on it for you, it just, you know, once the race starts, you know, the load's 95% on your shoulders, 90%, whatever it might be. And to, you know, come out of a race like that on top, I don't know how it could be any better than that.
How many times have you been there to try to win that race?
That's my third try at the Snowball. I've run probably 10 or 12 Blizzard Series races down there, which are 5 races a year they have during the year. But that's my third try at the Snowball.
Augie, give us a little brief synopsis of the race.
The race started. I wasn't too happy with my car. It wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. Just kind of rode along there. The first tires, I don't know why, just wasn't up to par. And I think we got up to 6 before the first pit stop. And after that first pit stop, it was like a different car. I mean, it just came to life. And I think I got up to 2nd before the next pit stop and behind Matt Hawkins. And before the very last pit stop, I was leading. So, I mean, the thing just got better and better as the day progressed. And lucky for us, luck was on our side, and we were able to finish the race.
Now, was it tires? Was it adjustments? What made the car come alive for you?
I don't know if the first set of tires was just not matched well, or had one tire that just wasn't very good, or what the deal was. About all we did the whole race was the first pit stop. We started the right rear air pressure a little lower than the right front, and as far as I know, that's the only change we made the whole race. And that was all it took. I think the cooler weather is probably why the thing got better and better. But probably everybody else did too. But I just noticed my car getting better and better as the race progressed. And the last run, I mean, that was by far the best it had been.
Now tell everybody out there how important tires are on that racetrack.
Oh, tires are 150% of how you do. I don't know. The start of the race there, I was kind of riding, but trying to be patiently aggressive, I guess is what you'd say. You know, just taking passes as I could get them, and this, that, and other. But you can run hard for 10 laps, and the next 50, you'll be getting out because you can't keep up. You just gotta take your time that place. It's very hard on time, very abrasive. You can walk across it on foot, lean over and grab it with your hand, and it hurts because it's so abrasive. But tires are definitely the ball game there.
Right, and the other thing that they're really hard on up there is tech. Tech is number one priority at the Snowball Derby, isn't it?
Definitely. They're definitely harder than you'll find anywhere else. and I'd like to say they're biased, but they're not. I've actually been thrown out of two races there this year, once for a valve angle issue we had and once for a carburetor issue. And, you know, they were borderline, but they wasn't exactly how they wanted to have them or that, how they wanted to be for them, for them to be. And, I mean, I got thrown out for it. And I would say over the snowball weekend, they probably all together probably threw out 20 cars or 20 people, you know, counting the local stuff and everything. And, you know, they're just making a precedent. You got to be right to race there.
And they obviously didn't show any favoritism to anybody.
Definitely not. I know that I probably shouldn't even say this on radio, but when they announced after the last chance races that Stephen Wallace and Kyle Busch had been thrown out, the crowd there just went wild. It was like they loved that they weren't going to be in the race because the Pensacola fans are very true to their drivers. I mean, I'd say they're probably the best fans in the United States.
Augie, I'm a media guy. I'm not supposed to be in favorites or have favorites or anything, but I got to be honest with you. I'm down here watching this stuff back and forth on my computer, getting updates and stuff, and when I found that out, it made my day. I'm the same way.
I appreciate that.
I mean, I'm the same way. It's like, to me, it was like, you know, because I want to see guys like you and, you know, Jeff Choquette, Mike Fritz, and, you know, Anderson get out there and, you know, and do it. And the only thing I didn't like about them not making it is so they could get out raced, because I think they would.
Yeah, I agree. That I've never cared much for, I guess you call them superstars, coming in to short track racing and outrunning everybody, because I just don't think that's fair. That's kind of like Cup drivers running Busch. You know,
right.
It's not fair to me. But, yeah, I agree. I think if they would have ran the race, they would have got outrun pretty bad.
Yeah, because you had seven. It was pretty. There's a couple of things I was looking at. I mean, you've been, with your background in this game, I mean, obviously you're not going to be in awe of guys, but, I mean, you got Bobby Gill and Gary St. Amant and Dave Mader III. I mean it's just the list goes on and on. And then to have 17 cars finish on the lead lap, 300 lap race, 39 cars, that's just
unreal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
17 cars on the lead lap at Pensacola.
Following you.
Yeah. And I'm glad of that. That's kind of hard to believe. I remember going, even when I think Wayne Anderson won it driving our car in 01, there might have been 7 or 8 cars on the lead lap. It's just the level of competition in short track racing has definitely raised the bar. It's getting harder and harder every race to be on top. And luckily this race we were on top, but, you know, it could change all the next race.
Now, Augie, isn't it amazing how late models have made such a fantastic comeback in stock car racing?
Yes, and I'd like to see them make even a greater one, but it's hard for that to happen because there's no traveling series anymore. You know, like Pensacola Mobile and Op, they've all got their own little series, and it's hard, I guess, for a promoter to just want out of the blue to start up a series, which I wish they'd do.
Like the Southern All-Stars used to be or something like that?
Right, exactly. Something like that, but come up with a common motor rule and a few other rules here and there, and I think they would have a following. It might take a year, it might take 2 years, but it would eventually be a very good thing, and I would sure like to see that sometime in the near future.
And all that kind of started fading away when NASCAR took over All Pro, I think.
Yeah, I think all they did was they wanted to eliminate the competition. They let that thing die slow death, and I that really hated to see that because we ran All Pro for my dad before I had anything to do with race cars other than just being around at the shop. My dad ran that stuff for years and years and years. And, once NASCAR got it, they just let it die slow death.
Yeah, so besides the money and the trophy and the feel-good and all that, what are some of the residuals of winning this the snowball?
Hopefully get a little more business. Hopefully be able to sell a few more cars over the winter. And I don't know. Other than that, really none, I'll guess. I'm sure you guys know it, but me and my dad own a company, Grand American Race Cars, and we had 2 of the top 5 Sunday and 3 of the top 5 Saturday night. So we have a pretty good piece for Pensacola anyway.
Yeah, P People know of you, man.
Yeah, they've heard of the grill name.
my dad's been around for years. Well, since the early 70s, I believe. So I would hope we have a name.
Yeah. So now, what's racing? Just as an aside here, what's racing like these days? You know, up in Alabama and up in that area.
Really, it's not where I'd like it to be. Some races you go to, you know, there'll be 30 cars, and some you go to, there'll be 12 or 14. I remember back in the days in the late 80s, early 90s, any race you went to, super late model wise, I mean, you were having 30 or 40 cars, and I hate to see that decline. And the upbringing of the pro late model series, or, you know, two barrel crate motor stuff, that is really pretty hurting on super late model race. And I wish there was some way they could recombine the two and run, you know, one class rather than having it all split up. But I don't think it'll happen because at the Snowball, there was more pro late model cars than there were supers. So
now is possibly one of the problems. I have a friend that races a super, and he's always talking to me about the costs involved of having the vehicle. Do you see that as one of the problems? Because a lot of drivers have a problem getting sponsors. Is that holding a lot of guys back from going into racing the supers?
Oh, racing in particular, yes. But the racers that are already here, it doesn't matter if we're racing pro late model motors, you know, crate motors. It doesn't matter if we're putting airplane motors in them. Racers are gonna race. I mean, every time somebody tries to come up with some kind of way for us to save money, we wind up spending more money. I guess we're retarded. It always seems that way. I mean, that was the inception of the crate motor, was to save everybody more money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we wind up finding ways to spend more money on the crate motor to make it more competitive. And that's just the racer instinct. We're going to spend more money whether we have to or not.
Well, you know, when you said earlier, and this, I think this is a good thing for the whole deal, is how competitive it is getting now. I think that's a great thing because the fans love it, and it's causing more interest from the fans. I mean,
oh, definitely.
When you go to a, even if it's a 20, 25 cars in a race, if there's, you know, 10 people or 12 people in that race who can win it, as opposed to one or two, that's a good thing, you know?
Oh, definitely. And it's like the Snowball. You know, the race starts, there's 39 cars that could possibly win the race. And, you know, by halfway, you can kind of narrow it down to maybe 15 to 20. And then by 50 to go, you know, there's going to be a handful of cars that's going to win the race. But, I mean, the competition is definitely there in late model racing. Probably more so than Cup or Busch, in my opinion. Because, you know, like the Snowball, like I said, 39 cars could have won the race. But like any Cup race, there's going to be five or six cars that's going to win a race, and that's pretty much it.
That's it. Yeah, that's no doubt about it. Augie, how do you feel about the youth movement in the late model ranks?
Hit a nerve, Rick.
I think so.
Yeah, it's a good thing, I guess.
He's got to get his PR right here. Go ahead, Augie, suck it up for a minute. Take a deep breath, man. It's okay.
I would like to say that I agree with it. I like to see it, but under the same token, I don't like it because, you know, you're racing with a 15, 16-year-old. You know, they might happen to wreck you or somebody else. Not that you're going to go whoop their butt or anything, but you can't really talk to them. I mean, it wouldn't do any good for just to go up to them and say, "Hey, you wrecked me. What are we going to do about it?" Now, it's kind of a waste of time to try to talk to a 15-year-old kid about, you know, what they might have done on the racetrack.
But at the same time, these young drivers would learn so much. Okay, the mom in me is coming out of this, but they would learn so much, you know, talking to the veteran drivers and learning from you, you know, if you point out some of the errors of their way.
I don't think Augie's talking about talking.
Well, the only thing I think about, y'all talk about younger drivers, is I remember I believe it was a Busch race at Bristol a few years back when Shane Mill was, I think it was his second try at it. and him and Dale Jarrett got together, and Dale Jarrett came up to his window and, you know, expressed his concern, and then Shane Mill, as he walked off, shot him a bird. That's the feeling I have with young kids.
Right.
They have. It doesn't matter if they're, if it's Bobby Gill or whoever it is that they might have wrecked or had a problem with, they don't have any respect. And I hate to say that, but that's kind of what I see. And, you know, most of the kids now, they're coming up through Legends cars or, you know, Bandoleros or whatever, and that stuff, you pretty much come to somebody to get by them, and they're learning the wrong things, I believe, too young.
Well, I tell you, if they're not showing you respect, I think part of the problem there, of course, is going to goes back to the parents, yeah, and the people that are helping them in racing and guiding them. And, you know, and that's a problem that needs to be addressed, because that's not good sportsmanship.
Exactly. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. But I don't know what you do about it, because, you know, everybody's wanting the young, new talent. So, you know, all these parents with a little bit of money, they're going to sink everything they got into their 12, 13, 14-year-old son.
Mm-hmm.
Or daughter, to try to make something out of them, and that's, I mean, I guess we're just gonna have to get used to it. That's what we're gonna see in the near future.
I don't know. Maybe we'll have to have some seminars somewhere, and gather up all the youngins and
take them behind the trailer with Jerry Wayne and Bobby.
I'll be a talker at it.
That's funny. That's good stuff.
Go get yourself a Switch, son.
There you go.
Your candor is refreshing, Augie, I have to say.
Well, I appreciate that.
Augie, I noticed a little bit of damage on the front end of your car in the winner's circle picture. What happened there?
About 55, 60 laps into it, I believe. I was sixth or seventh, right in there somewhere. And I was nose to tail with the top five or six. However many cars were in front of me, we were nose to tail. And there happened to be a lap car involved, and I don't know, they got together or something. I couldn't actually see around that far to exactly what happened, but everybody checked up, and I happened to be the poor soul that ran in the back of another car. And it mashed the front bumper in and the hood pin bar down, and that wasn't too bad. And then the exact same thing happened halfway through it. And this time it got the hood to where it was raising up down the straightaway, probably 4 or 5 inches. And luckily it wasn't high enough to where I couldn't see over it. It was impeding my vision a little bit, but not bad enough to have to really do something about it, because we knew if we had to take extra time on a pit stop, that was probably going to ruin our chances at any kind of really good run. So we just let it fly, and luckily, it didn't hurt us too bad.
Now, when I saw that picture, it reminded me of a picture I saw of you in the winner's circle at the Rattler.
Yeah, that was a completely different deal down there. Luckily, this wasn't quite as bad. We put a nose and a bumper bar on it and go to the next race. After the Rattler, we had to about build a complete new car.
Tell us a little bit about the race, the Rattler.
It was a good race. I assume you're talking about the race this year, the Rattler.
Right.
It was a good race. We didn't have the qualifying run we'd expected, just like the Snowball. And I don't know, it took us about halfway through it to get up to the front and lead it. And left it from like lap 50, 150 to 242 or 244, whatever it was. And Hunter came in not long before that and got right. And he was a little bit better on restarts, but my car, once we got going 3 or 4 or 5 laps, it was a little bit better than him. But there toward the end, they had restart after restart after restart, and he was able to get in the corner and bump me, basically, and move me up a little bit and get by me. And I guess that's when my anger management problems came in, and I pretty much decided he moved me, so if I can get back to him, I'm going to move him. And that's kind of what happened. We ran into 3 on the last lap, and I was able to get to him just enough to touch him, to move him up just like he did me. And we started up all 4, and he basically just turned left into my right rear quarter and sent me flying, and you guys saw the results.
Right. Yeah, but Augie, what a year, man. Ended up with the Snowball Derby. What's in the future for Augie Grill?
Pretty much the same thing as this year, I guess. We'll just kind of pick and choose races, probably run all the Blizzard races. all the series races at Mobile, and just kind of pick and choose. We stay busy enough with the Grand American to not be able to race as much as we'd like, but that's fine. I mean, we'll deal with that. We just hope that we can keep being competitive everywhere we go and be fast, and that's all we can ask for.
Well, Augie, it's been a pleasure talking to you, brother. Congratulations on the Snowball Derby win.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Are you going to be in have any involvement in Lakeland?
We're tossing that around. We got some people that we think might be able to help us a little bit to go down there, and if that comes through, then yes, we'll definitely go. But we're just not sure yet, so we'll leave it be for the time being, and hopefully we can go.
All right, let's end with a plug for that business again, man. You deserve it.
All right, it's Grand American Race Cars, GARC, better known, in Dolomite, Alabama. Number is 205-744-5950. And I would like to give my wife a shout-out. I know she's listening on computer, Courtney Grill, and my son, Owen. I love them, and I'm glad they're able to be here with me.
Thanks, Augie.
Well, I hope you and your family have a wonderful holiday.
Thank you, ma'am. Y'all too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Augie Grill, the winner of the Snowball Derby. I mean, you know, we've got the Governor's Cup, which is kind of our race.
It's a race for people in Florida.
Yeah. Right. The Snowball is national.
Big time.
It's big time.